Well, our second scripture reading today, we're continuing in our sermon series in Jeremiah. We're going to be in chapter 18, and we're going to be going through verses 1 through 11. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, that's going to be page 752. So Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, "Can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does?" declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or a kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. Now therefore, say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says, look, I am preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you. So turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So when we get into passages that speak in analogies or metaphors, it's very easy to get caught up in the details. We want to take the metaphor or analogy to the nth degree, kind of nitpicking it and trying to figure out, okay, it says this, and what about this, and what about this, and asking all these what-if questions. And we can really get down to the rabbit trail and miss the main point. Because when God speaks to his people in metaphors, and if you would recall a lot of the parables that Jesus taught, he would take something that is right in front of them that they could understand very easily to make his points. So when we look at parables, metaphors, analogies, we need to look for the main point. What is God trying to say to these people at this time for what purpose? And in this case, God is simply saying, I am sovereign over all my creation. I will do with it as it seems right to me. And you are my creation. And in this particular passage, he's telling Judah and Jerusalem that you all have sinned against me. And for that, I'm planning devastation. Repent of your evil ways. Now, as the modern church, we have a different perspective because we are on this side of the cross. We live by grace, and we know the whole story from beginning to end. God has given us that special revelation. So we also have to look at the passage in the light of the gospel message and see what God is trying to reveal to us in this time, in this place. Because remember, when we look at scripture, there is one meaning to the passage, the one message God is trying to get across, but then it can have multiple applications. applications to each person's life. So let's kind of dive in here. And as we go through this, the question for this week, ask yourself, what or who is molding me? What or who is molding me? So God asked Jeremiah to go down to this potter's house and watch what he's doing. And I find verse 4 very interesting. And it gives more perspective to our view. He says that the clay that the potter was shaping, it was marred. So something wasn't right about it. And so the potter decided to take that marred pot or whatever he was making and create something new out of it. Maybe he was trying to make a vase and there was impurity in the clay. Maybe a bubble had popped up and the top part of it just kind of flopped over. If you ever watched the YouTube videos of someone trying to mold clay on a wheel, they're going, and all of a sudden it flops over or something. The potter would take that, okay, that didn't work, and maybe flop it in and mold it again and make a little tiny pot instead of a vase. Now, here's where I mentioned we go down too many rabbit trails with metaphors. We could go, well, did God make mistakes? No. So God doesn't make mistakes. He is all-knowing, all-perfect, and sin has marred everyone's life. So in this case, the sin of Israel, worshiping other gods, other idols, as we spoke about last week, had marred Israel. And so God, in his perfect will, gave the instruction, turn from your ways, and essentially, I'm going to continue my plan in a different fashion. Again, that's a rabbit trail we can go down if we aren't careful. So we get back to the main point. We are the creation. He is the creator. And we follow his will in his way and not our own. And so Jeremiah is observing this potter. The clay is marred. He starts reshaping it. And God says, can I not do with you, Israel, as this potter does, declares the Lord. Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hands, Israel. And here's the main point here. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, which is what he was planning for Israel, if that nation warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict the disaster I have planned. And verse 9 is kind of the mindset that Israel had. They were God's chosen people, his nation that he had built up. And if at any time, another time I announce that nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, so that's where their head was, they thought they were in that nation. If it does evil in my sight and not obey, then I'll reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. So how do we take these judgment passages and look at them within the perspective of the gospel message? Of the modern church, and how are we to obey God in light of this type of message? First and foremost is the main point. God is the potter. He is the creator. He is the author. And he will do what he wills, what he sees best. Now, you can take that and run down some interesting rabbit trails. But the things we have to remember about God is he is unchanging. He will always act within his character, within his perfect and sovereign will. And he will always keep his promises. So he had made promises to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, and he's getting to this point where he's about to exile Israel. What does that mean? What does that mean about God and his promises? But he kept his promises because he kept a remnant of Israel. So when we look at it from the modern day church perspective, God will do what he sees best, but he will never act outside of his character. I've heard some people kind of push back on the idea of God's sovereignty and kind of have the thought process of, oh, so he just can do whatever he wants, arbitrarily destroy that, build that. It's not arbitrary. Remember, God has a plan that you can see throughout the entire Bible. The Bible is an epic love story of redeeming God's children. From beginning to end, the Bible shows God's grace and God's love in restoring and reconciling his children to him. Us, his wayward creation, that he must bring back into the fold. And we know his promises, they're fulfilled in the end, in Revelations, where God will remake the heavens and the earth, because he is the potter. Now to get to kind of the finer point of what do we do with these type of messages, these judgments, understanding them, the main points, and then ask the question. I always go through things asking questions. That helps my mindsets and trying to get to an answer. Who is molding you? Who or what is molding you? As we go through our Christian lives, the assumption is you read your Bible, you pray, you go to church for the purpose of having a relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we all know the distractions of this world lead us astray. And we start hearing lessons and teachings from other sources. A lot of people get this idea of Christianity being more of a moral philosophy, meaning, oh, this is just a bunch of good rules to live by. That's a philosophy. It's a mental assent to a way of thinking, rather than understanding the truth of the gospel, where Jesus Christ died for our sins. The Holy Spirit regenerated our souls, brought us from death to life in God. That's not just a philosophy. That is a cold, hard truth fact of the universe. There is a God. And he loved you enough to step off his throne and come down to this world and be crucified so that you may be reconciled to God the Father. And when we start listening to things that take our mind away from that fact, we become marred. Our clay starts becoming thin. If you go back to that illustration of the potter's wheel, what happens when you get that really thin piece? It's going to topple. So if you're not following God and his word, and you start following things of this world, building yourself up, or following false prophets, sin enters your life, and your clay becomes marred. Now, through the Holy Spirit, we are being shaped. All of you probably heard the term sanctification. Growing up in spiritual maturity. Think back to when you were a young Christian, brand new in the faith. Didn't know too much. Didn't know about all the theology, maybe the history, but you knew God loved you and Jesus died for you. But as you grew in maturity and your faith grew, God molded you into who he designed you to be. So if you remember at the beginning of Jeremiah, he said, I knew you before you were born. I knit you together. And in our walks, if we are following God, following the Holy Spirit, then he is going to mold you and shape you, giving you all the, maybe to continue on this metaphor, little gems on your pot, your spiritual gifts, to give glory to the Creator. Now, if you were to go into a store with very beautiful pottery, would you look at that pottery and go, oh, wow, pot, you are beautiful. How did you do that to yourself? No. You say, wow, that artist is amazing. He made this wonderfully beautiful gem-adorned vase, pot, whatever you want to think about. When we follow what God leads and we are molded by the Holy Spirit, we bring glory to our Creator. That is our purpose. To proclaim the kingdom of God. To give glory to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, if you're following things of this world, you're probably going to turn out like, you ever seen a preschooler come home with a little pot craft that they did? It's supposed to be a coffee mug, and someone uses like an ashtray or something. You follow this world, you're going to become an ashtray. You follow God, and you'll be a beautiful pot that gives glory to God. So there's the question for the week. What or who is molding you? And I pray you say it's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for your words, your special revelation to us, that we may know you, understand your desire, your will for our lives. Father God, as we endeavor to walk your path, we ask you to guide us and direct us with the Holy Spirit, as we know, left up to our own devices, we will fall and will be marred by sin. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. For Jesus Christ, who stepped down out of heaven to be the perfect once and for all sacrifice, that if we call him Lord, you will redeem us, save us, and build us up as the body of Christ. Father, we praise you and thank you. As you continue to lead us, it's in Jesus' holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.